this evening, 2 Kings chapter number 13. And man, it's been great to be in the house of God tonight and just appreciate the presence of the Lord. And I appreciate those of you that just minded the Lord in testifying and helped my heart already and the good singing tonight. And I sure appreciate our church. And thank God that, you know, you can come and you can get help in the house of God. And I'm glad that it's, and I don't mean this in an ugly way. Don't take it the wrong kind of way. But I'm glad that even though the preacher's gone, we can still meet with the Lord. Amen. And I appreciate that. And I know that it is a blessing to Brother Gravely and sets his mind at ease. That people will just take the breaks off and worship while he's not here. And it's been a blessing to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 13. And I want to give you the thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart. We'll begin here. And we're just going to reference some other places in the Bible and not have you turn all over the place tonight. But this is just where we're going to take our thought from. 2 Kings chapter number 13. And I want to begin reading in verse number 20. 2 Kings 13, and we're going to look at verse number 20, just kind of get some context out of verse number 20 and 21, and then we're going to look at verses 22 through 25 tonight, all right? So 2 Kings chapter number 13, and if there, say amen. 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 2 Kings 13 and verse number 20, the Bible said, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz by his father by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings upon our life. God, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, being here tonight. Lord, thank you, God, that we have... Lord, heard about you tonight, Lord, in song and testimony. And Lord, this service has been a witness unto your goodness and your glory tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, as we stand to preach. Lord, you know where we stand tonight. Lord, you know who we are. And Lord, you know I need your help tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would breathe upon us. Lord, that you would help us. Lord, that you'd make preaching easy tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage the heart of a listener tonight. I pray, God, that you would give us something that would help us, Lord, to make it through the remainder of this week. But, Lord, above all, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to have our faith increased in you and have a greater desire to walk with you and have a closeness with you, Lord, that we didn't have before we came. And, God, we'll thank you for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Whenever we look at this portion of Scripture tonight, we find in verses 20 and 21 that the man of God, Elisha, has died. We, of course, know that he is the successor of the man of God, Elijah. Elijah called Elisha and anointed him, as the Lord said, to be the prophet in his room. And here all these years have come to pass, and now Elisha has had a great successful ministry, almost twofold of everything that Elijah did. But now the time has come where the man of God has died. And as you look at the books of the Kings, if you study out 1 and 2 Samuel as well as the 1 and 2 Kings and the books of the Chronicles, you'll find that in Samuel we're introduced to people, we're introduced to kings. key figures in Israel, but in the books of the Kings, it's like a picture of what is going on in the national news, what's happening to the people as a nation. And during this time, the people of Israel are living in very dark and despairing days. Elisha was indeed the man of God, but now he has died. And there's this great instance of revival and resurrection that takes place in chapter number 21. But the Bible is quick to tell us in verse number 22 that Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. There's a cycle that you'll see with the people of God that you can even pick up on in the book of the Judges. You can pick up on that cycle within the nation, the nation's history, throughout the books of the Kings, of Samuel, and so on. And we find that there is a bright spot in Israel's history with the man of God here, but now he has died. And then there is a problem that is presented to us, and it is a problem that is ever present with the people of God in the Bible. And may I say this tonight, that it is a problem that is ever present with you and I tonight, and that, of course, is the problem of oppression, or the problem of sin, or there being the presence of some kind of antagonizer tonight. The Bible said, but Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. If you study out the life and the happenings of Hazael tonight, Hazael paints a very good picture of sin for us tonight. Amen. And so first of all, we see the problem there in verse number 22, and that is the problem of sin. But thank God, in the midst of that problem and in the midst of that sin, God makes provision in verse number 23. The Bible said, and the Lord was gracious unto them. Amen. Thank God tonight that even though there was an oppressor, even though there was the presence of evil and there was the problem of sin tonight, thank God, God made provision tonight. He acted in grace and he acted in love and he acted in compassion towards his people tonight. You say, why did he do that? We see there's a problem. There's provision been made. Why did God do that? What was the basis for it tonight? The basis for it is found there in the middle of verse number 23. He had compassion on them and had respect unto them, not because of their accolades, not because of their accomplishments, not because of who they were and what they did, but God was gracious unto them and had respect unto them because of a covenant tonight. Amen. Thank God that there is a promise that went out all those years ago to Father Abraham, and God was in the business then of keeping his promise. And by the way, tonight, God is still in the business of keeping his promises. Amen. But thank God, he's never failed. Hallelujah. He's never faltered. He's never changed his mind. Thank God, God honors his word and he's honored the covenants that he's made with his people tonight. Amen. But that brings us to our next thought tonight in verse number 23. We see the people. We see the recipients of this covenant tonight. We see that he made his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And we're going to talk about them here in just a few moments. And then we see the protection. The Bible said, and he would not destroy them. And then finally, we see his presence there at the latter part of verse number 23. The Bible said, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. I'm interested tonight in how God is gracious to his people, not just particularly the people of Israel here, but namely Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as they were mentioned in the verse number 23. The Bible talks about that respect that God has and that compassion that he has, and we uncovered the idea that it was because of a covenant, it was because of the grace that he extended to this family of patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Thank God, as we look at their lives tonight, we see the grace of God over and over and over again. And now, here upon the pages of Israel's history, we see the grace of God at work. And it encourages me tonight, because just as I can see God moving in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's life, and just as I can see God's grace moving in the lives of these individuals that we find in 2 Kings chapter number 13. I'm glad tonight that I can throw my lot in with them. Amen. I can be numbered among them tonight because I am a recipient of grace tonight. Amen. Thank God from grace all the way to glory. It is the goodness of God that has kept us. It is the goodness of God that has redeemed us. It is the goodness of God that is rearing us and sanctifying us tonight. Amen. And I want to just say this, as the songwriter said, I know how I made it. I made it by grace. Amen. We'll step on those sunny banks of deliverance and we'll look back not trusting in ourselves, not being able to say that we did it, but it was all Him tonight and we made it by the grace of God. Amen. I want to preach on that subject and that thought with the time that we have left. I know how I made it. I made it by grace. I want to look at these three characters here in the Word of God in verse number 23, and I want to start where it all begins with Abraham tonight. Amen. And you think about the life of Abraham, I want to say this concerning grace. Number one, we see that Abraham was a mission for grace. Abraham was a mission for grace. You say, now what do you mean by that? Whenever you go back and you study the beginnings of Abraham tonight, Abraham was a pagan. Abraham was an idolater. Abraham, if we can say it like this, he was a heathen. There was no covenant as far as Abraham was concerned tonight. He was worshiping those idols and he was living in sin. But I'm glad, thank God tonight, that God just showed up in his life one day. You say, what was it that prompted that? It was just the grace of God. It was just the goodness of God tonight. God looked down and he saw heathen Abraham just minding his own business. And God butted into his life tonight. Amen. He said, I'm going to call him and I'm going to bless him tonight. And I'm going to make a great nation out of him. And I'm not just going to bless him, but I'm going to bless those that would follow after him. I'm going to bless his people. I'm going to bless his kindred in so much that they would be like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky tonight. Amen. Abraham was a mission for grace. I believe God looked at Abraham and he looked at his condition and he looked at his situation and he said, this looks like a job for grace tonight. Amen. I think about the life of Abraham and the call of grace. Amen. We've already mentioned Abraham being there at Ur of the Chaldees there in Genesis chapter number 12, and God came to where he was, and it was God who took the initiative tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that God is the one who gets the ball rolling? Aren't you glad that it's not left to up to us tonight, but it's God who takes the initiative? I remember in the garden with Adam and Eve, it was God who took the initiative. It was no different with Abraham. It was God who took the initiative. You remember where you were when God saved you? I already said earlier in the service, I was not looking for him, but he came to where I was as a 14-year-old boy. I'd heard the gospel frontwards and backwards, had a head knowledge, but if I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. And God came to where I was and pricked my heart, knocked on my heart's door, showed me I was lost without him, turned the light on in my soul, and I was able to respond by faith because of grace tonight. Amen. We see the call of grace, and then, of course, we see the covenant of grace. You think about God calling Abraham and then God confirming his covenant with Abraham. There in Genesis chapter number 15, God tells Abraham to take a sacrifice and divide it and lay it out. And then what God does next is he puts Abraham to sleep. The Bible talks about a great horror of darkness coming over him. And what God was showing Abraham, he was showing him the slavery and the Egyptian bondage of his people that was to come. But here's what God did. God had him lay out that sacrifice, and that smoking lamp and that torch passed through those pieces as a way to signify God saying, Abraham, I'm making a covenant with you. Amen. Listen, it was God who took the initiative, and it was God who made that thing, who confirmed that promise tonight. Amen. And he put Abraham to sleep. And that just shows you and I tonight that Abraham didn't have anything to do with it. Amen. He said, lay this sacrifice out. God go to sleep for a little bit, and I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. Amen. But listen, that furnace and that lamp passed through that sacrifice, and God's judgment was coming, but God's presence would be with them. Amen. You look down the hallway of time, and you see Calvary in that tonight. Amen. You see the dregs of the judgment of God and the wrath of God and our sin being laid out on God's Son. Oh, but thank God the writer of Hebrews said this, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. It's the same grace that was with Abraham, the same grace that was with Christ on the cross, and it's the same grace that's with you and I tonight. Amen. Abraham was a mission for grace. We see the call of grace, the covenant of grace. And then I think about the confirmation of grace tonight. Amen. The confirmation of grace. He said, I'm not just going to bless you, but I'm going to bless your son. I'm making a promise to you that you'll have a son, and your son will have sons. And for generation upon generation, I'm going to be good to you strictly upon the basis that I'm good and that I can be good to you. Amen. Understand tonight that that gives us a greater perspective of the grace of God. It leaves no room for self. It leaves no room for our boasting. It leaves no room for our so-called good works tonight. Listen, this thing always been about grace. It always will be about grace, and it's going to be the grace of God that gets us home tonight. Amen. Abraham was a mission for grace. You may be here tonight and you're lost without Christ, and you're unsure about your eternity, and you don't understand or know what the future holds. Can I invite you tonight to trust in our Savior, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? He is a gracious God. He is a merciful God. He's full of grace and truth and abundant mercy tonight, and He has the capacity to change your eternity and to change your destination tonight and to turn your life around tonight. Never one time regretted following Him. I've not always been what I should be. I've not always been faithful. But God has always kept His word tonight. Amen. Amen. Abraham was a mission for the grace of God. But then secondly, I think about Isaac tonight. You think about Isaac. Isaac, what was he in the word of God? Isaac was the manifestation of grace. Isaac was the manifestation of grace. He was that promised child, that promised seed of Abraham. And there again, we see that God is keeping His word, and He is doing that through grace tonight. You remember when God showed up to Abraham and He promised him that a son would come. No doubt Abraham was excited. No doubt Abraham saw the grace of God coming to pass in his life. He saw the plan of God begin to unfold. But there was something that happened in Abraham's life. Abraham began to get a little bit impatient. Amen. His wife Sarah was no doubt discouraged tonight. Amen. And said, well, we've got Hagar. And you know, you can go get the job done. And there's your son. Well, they did that. And they decided to go that route and rather than wait on God. But aren't you glad tonight, in spite of Ishmael, in spite of Hagar, in spite of the failures tonight, listen, God kept His word, and the grace of God was still at work in spite of Abraham's mess ups, in spite of his sins, in spite of not waiting on God. Hey, there's so many times we've made blunders and we've messed up. Amen. We thought it was the end tonight. Oh, but thank God there was God showing up just like He did before, fixing our mess and fixing our problems and coming behind us tonight. Amen. Making things right according to His will. We think about Isaac being the manifestation of grace. I think about God coming to Abraham and telling him, I want you to take your son, your only son, and worship with him. I want you to, it's a special kind of worship. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice unto me tonight. Amen. Now listen, Abraham had to be willing to go. Abraham had to be willing to worship. Do you understand the kind of grace that took tonight? Here this promised seed is, this promised son. He's no doubt precious to Abraham tonight. And the God, after going through all of this, after all that promise being confirmed, and after all of the difficulty and the confusion and the heartache, now the joy of this son being born, and this son is growing up, and God comes to Abraham and tells him that he wants to offer that promised seed. Abraham had to be willing to go and worship tonight. Can I tell you tonight, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard to come into the house of God and you're bearing the weight of the world and you're bearing the load of all the pressure that's on you between the family and the job and the circumstances. And listen, we understand that tonight, but I'm going to tell you what it takes tonight to worship. It takes the grace of God, amen. It takes the grace of God to worship in spite of the circumstances. It takes the grace of God to worship in spite of the difficulty. It takes the grace of God to worship sometimes in spite of yourself. You just don't feel like it and you've had a hard day and you're just going to come and set it on cruise control and just ride the service out and try again on Sunday. Oh, but I'm telling you, if you'll just trust God and ask Him for a little bit of grace, He'll help you to give Him the glory that's due to His name. And I promise you this, you'll feel better and you'll know that you're being obedient to the command that we ought to worship Him tonight and we ought to lift Him up. Amen. We see Abraham's worship, but then think about the perspective from Isaac's viewpoint. Isaac had to be willing to do it. Amen. Here he gets up there on the mountain. All he knows is he's going to church with Dad, and he looks around, and there's no sacrifice. Amen. Isaac could have jumped the trail and run off. Oh, but Isaac trusted God because he had a dad who taught him what it was to value the word of the Lord and to trust the commands of God. Here Isaac is. He willingly lays himself down. He's willingly bound, making himself a prepared sacrifice tonight. That sounds, I know you've heard it, but just humor me tonight. That sounds an awful lot like the Son of God tonight. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. Listen, he did not revile those men. He did not return evil for evil. Oh, but thank God he was willing to come as a sacrifice for you and I. And the grace of God was manifested on Golgotha's hillside that day as Jesus stretched out, suspended between heaven and earth. There he died for you and I. Amen. Amen. Abraham's worship, we see Isaac's willingness. But then think about Sarah's womb tonight. Amen. Sarah was. She couldn't bear any children. She was barren. What this was tonight, it was an impossible situation. Amen. Now I know this is what God said, but Abraham, this is just the fact of the matter tonight. I know what the Bible says, but look around and look at the situation tonight. I know that we've got God's Word. I know that we've got a King James Bible. I know that we're in a good church. Amen. I couldn't ask for anything better. But you know, let's really just look at the situation tonight. Amen. And I'm glad tonight that God is bigger than our situation. When we look at the will of God and we laugh, shall I have a pleasure in my old age, Abraham? And she laughed at that tonight. Amen. Oh, but thank God. Listen, it was no laughing matter when it came to what God was going to do. You can mark it down tonight. It may be humorous to you. You may be struggling to believe it sometimes. Oh, but I'm glad that God keeps and He honors His word, and He does that by the work of His grace in our life tonight. Amen. We see Abraham was a mission for grace. Isaac was the manifestation of grace. But then we think about Jacob tonight. Jacob was a mess in grace. Jacob was a mess tonight. Amen. I mean, you think about Jacob's flesh tonight. And Jacob came out of the womb grabbing a hold of Esau. I mean, he was a supplanter from the word go. Jacob was a man who knew how to get what he wanted in life. Amen. Didn't no matter who he had to kick while they were down. Didn't matter who he had to stab in the back. Didn't matter what he had to do in order to get ahead. Jacob was going to have what he wanted in life. Amen. He was a deceiver. He was a trickster. Amen. Listen, he was a man who contended for things in his life. He contended with his brother. He contended with Laban for his daughters two times over. Amen. Jacob was a contender. And God said, all right, Jacob, you're a contender. You like to put the gloves on. Then let's do it. Amen. And Jacob met God there at a place called Peniel. Amen. And he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And for the first time in Jacob's life, he got honest with himself and he got honest with God. And he didn't try to say, my name's Esau. He wasn't trying to trick anybody or pull the wool over their eyes, literally. Amen. But listen, he got honest with God and he said, I'm Jacob. He said, I'm a liar. He said, I'm a deceiver. I'm a tricker. You know it'll help you. Just come honest with God. The grace of God. Amen. I know you got failures. I know you got sins. I know you got things you're ashamed of. But I'm glad, thank God, that the love of God covers a multitude of sins. And the grace of God is sufficient for every need tonight. No matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are tonight, thank God there's grace for that. Hallelujah. And the grace of God is sufficient in our lives. We see Jacob's flesh. He was a deceiver tonight. But then we think about Jacob's family. I mean, to start things off, the man's got two wives. Amen. I need grace with one. Somebody say amen. There was grace involved in that tonight. Amen. We think about his daughter and the things that happened there to his daughter. And in spite of all that, in spite of the missteps, and in spite of going the wrong direction, he went to Shechem and he should have went to Bethel tonight. And he just made a mess of things. But isn't that what we do tonight? Isn't that the human condition? The human condition is a mess tonight. Amen. We can blame things on our flesh and we can blame things on our family tonight. But listen to me. We have to look in the mirror and we have to own who we are and what we are tonight. But I'm glad that when you do that, the Bible says in the book of James that God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the Jacob. But God gives grace to the Israel. God gives grace to the humble tonight. Amen. What did God do for Jacob? God changed his name. God changed his nature. Amen. God changed his destination. God changed everything about that man. And in the days of his old age, the Bible talks about it in the book of Hebrews, where he leaned upon the top of his staff and he worshiped God. Listen, the marks of the touch of God followed Jacob all the days of his life. What is that? Is that a handicap? What is that? An ailment? What is that, a problem? No, boys, this is what grace looks like. Amen. But God came to where I was and he touched me and he changed me, and I'd rather go through it with God in this old stick than to be standing proud as Jacob and the man of the flesh and the carnal man and die without God and go to hell. Hey, listen, we may have our handicaps, we may have our hang-ups, but I'm glad that we've got a God tonight who loves us in spite of it, and he's willing to use us, and he's willing to move on our behalf tonight. Amen. Jacob's flesh, Jacob's family, and then Jacob's future. God changed him for time and eternity tonight. Amen. I know how I made it. I made it the same way Abraham made it. I made it the same way Isaac made it. I made it the same way Jacob made it. I'm making it the same way that Christ made it on the cross. I'm making it the same way that you're making it tonight. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're making it by grace. Sinner, can I tell you tonight, if you're here and you're lost without Christ, there's grace for your need tonight. Over 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for you and died as you. He took the curse of sin upon himself for you. And he died willingly, gave himself. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. 3 days and three nights later, he arose. He is alive. He has the keys of death and hell. It is he that was dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore. He's seated at the right hand of God now, making intercession for you. The Bible says that the Spirit and the bride say, come, come and meet this Savior. Come and throw yourself upon his grace tonight. Come and experience his love and his mercy tonight. And through the ages, you'll be able to look back and say, I know how I made it. Wasn't through my religion. wasn't through my good works, wasn't through me trying harder and harder and harder and doing better and doing better and doing better. No, you'll make it by grace tonight. Amen. Let's stand together.